All right, Matt, before we welcome in everybody to the official episode one of On Second Thought, I want to let you know, don't sleep on the dry roasted, honey roasted Planters peanuts. Now, before I get your opinion on these, does that mean they're double roasted? I have been feasting on these things like candy, which is not good for my waistline, because I think the regular, just straight peanuts are like appropriate for my diet, but the dry roasted, honey roasted Planters peanuts are a delicacy.
They are.
This is an important thing to talk about before we get to into the episode at all. I have been feasting on these double-handed.
I love the honey roasted peanuts from Planters. They get that perfect little bit of sweetness.
Yep.
You know, the satisfy that. And that saltiness, and it's a good snack. I mean, they're not as healthy as regular peanuts, but they're, yeah, you ain't gonna go wrong with those. I mean, now, eating tubs and tubs of them, that might be like, but, I mean, you know, a handful here, handful there.
Yeah.
Do you ever look at the serving size of those?
No, because like, I want to be ignorant about the whole damn thing.
It's like 19 pieces or some shit like that. You know,
it's like a big hands, Matt. I can probably get the whole
how many pieces are in that big hand?
Yeah. But that is a sensational treat. And you haven't answered my question, though. Does that mean they're double roasted if they're dry roasted and honey roasted? Or is it just roasted one time, dry with the honey?
I think it's just one time. Otherwise, I think it's just once.
I thought I was getting double roasted here.
Are you sure this says dry roasted, honey roasted? I think it's...
Yeah, dry roasted is like the overall like brand, like model of Planters. You know, Planters is salted, lightly salted. Yeah. So there's the dry roasted line, and then there's under dry roasted there's honey roasted. This is hard hitting stuff, by the way. But yes, I have been feasting on those. But I think I will tell the wife to abstain from buying them in the future. I'm just going to stick to my regular nuts.
No, Mike, you gotta have that good treat every now and then.
No.
You gotta have that dry roasted. I'm looking at the Planters website right now because now you got me curious about the whole double roasted stuff. Planters honey roasted dry roasted peanuts. Sure enough, that's what the can says. I never paid attention to it before like that. So, all right. So here's my theory: they're dry roasting them, and then they're adding honey and roasting them again.
I'm getting a double roast.
You're getting your garden double roast.
Don't let them hear that. They'll raise the prices on us.
Peanuts can be expensive enough, especially cashews. Do you like cashews?
I do, but I don't think, you know, Lynn would not go out and buy cashews. She's not thinking Mike cashews, you know what I mean? She doesn't put those two and two together.
Well, they make honey roasted cashews.
This is going to be a slippery slope, you know. I'm trying to lose the weight.
But no, it's a good treat. It's a good treat. I don't think you should deny yourself that treat.
Okay. Let's get to the show. Welcome everybody on Second Thought with Mike and Matt. I guess this is episode two, although I technically feel like it's episode one. But you know how these Podbean, iTunes services, they don't think far ahead like us and say, well, there's going to be like a test run or episode 00. So you have to put episode one in, zero in as one. If you don't, then the whole thing just gets out of whack from the get-go. So this is officially episode two, although I think it's one. It's 1A. Speaking from a civil planner who's done documents. This is not a two. This is a 1A.
This is version 1A.
Well, welcome, Matt. Hopefully all is well in the cul-de-sac.
It's a dreary day here today.
I just saw something pop up on my... you know how Windows likes to tell you the temperature? And I'm not sure if it's a thing where they're trying to get you like worked up over things, but it says snow is coming, which it gives me a little pause. You know, time is moving fast, Matt. My oldest son turned 19 last Saturday. We went out to the Celtics game. We went out to got a little pizza beforehand, and you know how this was not at like a restaurant. It was more like a pizza shop with just a couple tables, and you put the pizza in the middle in one of those, you know, stands, and everybody's got to lean forward, you know, to get their slices. So, you know, you wear a long sleeve sweatshirt.
Oh no.
And you lean forward to get your pizza, and sometimes the sweatshirt creeps up a little bit. It doesn't, you know. Fabric tends to move, and what do I see when I look at my son? But pretty much a half sleeve tattoo on his, you know, forearm, you know, from his wrist to his elbow. Okay. Now we have, for those, you know, that are listening, obviously we're not doing this on Twitch. We are still have our video on, so we don't talk over each other and things like that. So Matt can clearly see that this old man is covered in tattoos. So you think, Mike, geez, what's the big deal? You're covered. You know, why are you getting upset about your son? I'm not getting upset. I think the thing that hurts or whatever is that, you know, no one brought it up to Dad. Like, hey, I'm thinking of doing this. You know, I'm sure you can relate to this a lot too. Kids go to their mom.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
they don't go to Dad.
Right.
So why, what does this have to do with snow? Well, first of all, it was his birthday, the tattoo. And then I learned last night, again, going to mom, that he's driving today 3 hours to Albany, New York for a show.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah.
In my car. By himself. Yeah, this is a hell of a thing. So I'm sitting here wondering, you know, is when push comes to shove, am I going with him tonight to Albany, New York? You know, is this because all these bands that are playing, I know these people, I know the promoter, I know the guy who owns the club, I've played these places before. So wouldn't it be like I would just be going and sitting in the corner? I would catch up with a lot of people that I haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah, out there in a mosh pit with them.
No. You know, I've thought about that because I still got the moves, Matt. There's no doubt about it. I could, you know, the bodies would still hit the floor. But yeah. I own a house now. You know, people could come after me. These people, it's a very litigious society, right? They might want to sue me and take my house.
Yeah, exactly. You say the bodies can hit the floor, but can the body get back up off the floor?
Right. Yeah, when I was 19, you know, you couldn't draw blood from a stone. I'd have to go after my parents.
now it's you and your wife.
Exactly.
Yeah. So he's driving by himself 3 hours?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, my oldest, he's 21. I would be a bit apprehensive of him driving 3 hours by himself to a goddamn... Yeah. And then he's not staying overnight or anything. He's coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Yeah. You know, my wife and I come from, like, you know, this is what we did at his age. You know, I remember driving to New York City by myself, going to shows, you know, of course didn't tell the parents or anything, but it was a different time back then. You know, you didn't have the cell phones. You didn't have, you know, all that type of stuff. But yeah, so that's my dilemma today. I'm going to get through the show here, and then I'm going to go for my walk and go visit my my pond and have some deep thoughts at the pond on what I'm going to ponder at the pond of what I should do tonight. Drive, let him go, you know, drive with them, let him go by himself, you know, we'll see.
Man, yeah, that's a tough decision there.
In Albany, New York, it's not like he's driving to, you know, some pleasurable place, you know. It's not, you know, right. Albany, New York can be pretty seedy. So,
I'd be a little scary. You know, I get worried when Noah goes down to, you know, you're familiar with Bogarts down in Cincinnati. You know, and it's a different area now than it was back when you was going there. It's, you know, a little more, there's some danger there. You know, a lot of car break-ins and stuff happening that. And he likes to take Barb's car down there because it's easier to park, find a parking spot for it than his truck. Yeah. So I get a little, you know, nervous when he's going down there to do that and walk around because he's a little naive yet and, you know, hasn't done too much experience with dealing with other people and that, so it's a little scary.
I have fond memories of that time. That I was on a tour for 1 week with this big New York hardcore band called Agnostic Front, and it was kind of like when they got their like original lineup back together, and we were doing a week of shows with them, just kind of like, you know, Pennsylvania, Cleveland. I think we played like Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati. Anyways, this was before I started dating Lynn. So this had to be like early 98, like maybe a couple months before I started dating Lynn. Maybe I was talking to her, but I don't think we were dating or anything like that. So we were playing Columbus, and it just so happened, you know, every dog has its day, Matt. The drummer of Agnostic Front found a woman to saddle up with. I found a woman to saddle up with. And I remember both of us, these two women were friends, and me and the drummer were leaving together. So four of us were leaving together. And I go, I probably had a few in me, and we were leaving. And I'm yelling out the window, "Tomorrow, Cincinnati, the big red machine, let's go." And I could still remember that. I remember playing on Bogart's, too. It was a big stage. It's a big stage.
Yeah. No one likes going down there.
Yeah.
He likes that place.
So yeah. So we've got to think about what's going to happen tonight. We'll figure it out at some point.
Good luck.
I was thinking the other day, it has been, I think we stopped doing Bad Fodder Figures, what, at the end of October 2021? Is that right? That sound right to you?
Yeah. I want to say it was sometime during the whole COVID thing. Yeah, right. Was it October 2020, 2021, somewhere around that range? Yeah.
I want to say 2021. So yeah. I want to say it's been a little over like 2.5 years since we've podcasted. I want to say maybe in the last 6 to 8 months, as I got, you know, when you stop doing podcasting like we had been doing consistently, you know, you did the 40 cast, I was doing Gamers in Beta, and then there was Gamers Unscripted, and also I was on the 40 cast, and then Bad Fodder Figures, you know, there needed to be like a sort of like a cleansing of the palate, right? Just get it out of your system, just not think of it. And I'd say in the last 6 to 8 months, as I started to listen to more podcasts myself, and the wheels started turning in my head, and I was like, maybe I'll do my own show, like a 30-minute show, you know, because I still follow the gaming news. I still like to talk about it. And that was, I forget what I told you. I think I wanted to do a show. I think I was going to call it like, Let Me Clear My Throat.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Right? Yeah. Something like that. Because, you know, I have all these throat issues with my, acid reflux and stuff like that. So it was a little play on that. It was just like a 30-minute show. And then, I don't know, one day we were gaming like we usually do, and you said, "What do you think about doing a podcast?" And I was like, "Yeah, funny you mentioned that." You know, so for those listening, I think that's, you know, how this all just organically, you know, came about. Just kind of both of us thinking of it and then expressing that one night while we were gaming.
Yeah, right. Well, when we stopped podcasting back in October 2021, many people know Mike and I just stopped talking to each other. That was it. We just cut lines. Boom, gone, done. You know, see you later. Good luck.
A clean break, as they say.
Clean break. Yeah. No, that's not true at all. but yeah, we got to playing. Well, I mean, we've always played games here, but it just seemed like the past couple months playing, we've been having this report going back and forth, and I thought, you know what, this would probably make for a good podcasting, and it was just a casual conversations and discussions and stuff like that we'd get into now and then. And yeah, I brought up to Mike, so what do you think about doing this? So,
and here we are.
Yep. Yeah, here we are
on second thought. You know, when we first started podcasting, I felt like Twitter, or if you want to call it X or whatever, was a good tool for promotion, because I think everything was just sort of, everything was on an equal playing field, is I guess is the best way I could describe it. Now, right, like the way they got things set up, like it's like a fart in a windstorm, man. You can't get any real traction. So it's going to be some work on us to get the name out there. But, you know, we have no aspirations here to, like, you know, we're looking to go to the top of the charts. Because first of all, what do you pigeonhole this as? Just chatting, gaming? It's a hodgepodge of stuff that we're going to cover.
It is.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah. It's like, how do we get that back out there with everything else going on? That, like you said, Twitter is not what it used to be. You have the other one, what, Threads, you know, people on that. People are just all over the place with social media anymore. And I don't think anyone wants to see Mike and I do TikToks.
And I am on a social media hibernation at the moment. I'm only on Twitter. I've paused my accounts on Threads and Instagram and Facebook, so I'm not on those places anymore. I'm just spending too much time on there. So
yep.
Just paused them. I'm only on Twitter because I just like the gaming news. You know, my Twitter feed is highly curated, as I like to say, so I don't get a lot of the bullshit that other people see, unless I get lazy and I venture over to the For You tab. But if I just go to following, it's just all gaming stuff.
Yeah, and that thing that pisses me off about I was going to say Social Security.
A lot of things piss me off about Social Security. That'd be a hell of a show if you want to get into that.
Holy shit. social media is that, you know, things used to be in a timeline, your newest to oldest. Now it's all jumbled around, and you don't get the relevant stuff first.
You got to go to the following tab and on Twitter for you. Yes, it's all jumbled up.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, just to wrap that up, you know, it's going to just a little bit to get the word out. So if you're listening, if you've listened to our past shows and you want to throw us a bone and help us out and spread the word, you know, we appreciate it. We are on Twitter. Our handle on Twitter is just the acronym for the show. So it's OST with Matt and Mike. So OSTWMM, just all the initials of the show. Mm-hmm. But you can also follow us each on Twitter, Captain Mike M and Devious Mr. Matt. We'll be retweeting things and trying to get the word out. But so it's been about 2.5 years since we've done the show. Obviously, we're not going to go through, you know, what have we been doing in these 2.5 years. I mean, for me, I think about it, just been a lot of family time. You know, my boys have really gotten into the Celtics, so I spent a lot of time watching basketball with them. I went through a major kitchen renovation, which would have been a hell of a topic to discuss each week on Bad Fodder Figures, but I came out on the other side of that okay. But I think, you know, one thing I wanted to talk about at some point here is, you know, just maybe change in gaming taste over the 2.5 years. But before we do that, Matt, is there anything, you know, you feel that, you know, has changed for you over the 2.5 years? Anything that we should discuss or cover?
Well, I think most recently, you know, my gaming habits have changed somewhat. I'm not much, you know, I still console game, but I bought a new PC back this past summer. You know, that nice PC pre-built type of thing.
We got to pour one out for the poor. Do you still have the Dell? Is it mounted on the wall? Where is it?
It's in a museum.
It's in a museum.
It's in a museum. Yeah, Matt's last Dell.
with all the dust bunnies in it.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I'm afraid I would be afraid to open that thing up and see what was inside there.
Probably your missing cat. The cat that ran away. It never went outside. It's just inside your Dell. It's nice and warm.
The computer. Meow. Meow. It's cold now because it doesn't get no heat because it's not on. Yeah, so I didn't buy a Dell this time. I got myself an Asus, some people say. It's pretty sweet. It's nice. It does all the things I want to do with gaming. And
So the question we have to ask is, you're one of the guys that decided this generation for gaming, you were just going one platform. Before you had an Xbox One and you had a PS4, and then this generation, I would think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, with Game Pass and things like that, you said, you know, I'm just going Xbox.
Yeah.
And so my recollection, that was working out well for you, just being on the Xbox Series X. So was it just a question of like, hey, the Dell's getting a little long in the tooth and it's not like as snappy as it needs to be, so I need to upgrade my PC anyway, so while I'm upgrading it, let me add some bells and whistles so it can be a gaming PC? Or was it like you were dissatisfied with the Xbox and you wanted to get into PC gaming?
Well, I think the biggest part of it was, I mentioned this also, I bought a Steam Deck back in early summer, I guess it was. Early summer, late spring, I bought a Steam Deck. And just from playing that and playing games on it and getting back into Steam, and, you know, the Steam Deck's a powerful little piece of equipment that can do a lot and plays games greatly and very clearly. And I thought, man, you know, some of these games would look good on PC. And, of course, my Dell at the time couldn't run most of that stuff at high levels and that. So I thought, you know what, I'm getting a lot more Steam games. Let's maybe look at getting a new PC. And that's kind of where that came from. And with Game Pass, you know, Ultimate, you can play PC games on your computer. So it's like, well, this seems like a no-brainer. I can get on PC, Xbox, cross-play, cross-save, you know. And same thing with my PC games I get from Steam. A lot of them I can play on the Steam Deck, so there's opportunity there to play games and maybe actually finish Witcher 3, you know, at some point. But, yeah, that's kind of where that all came from. And I'm enjoying it. You know, it's a lot more finicky. It's not just straightforward as, you know, putting the game on and playing it or some tweaking and stuff you do. And I've had some issues, you know, especially with Diablo 4. But besides that, it's, you know, it's, I've been enjoying it pretty much.
So for those that don't know, Matt has always been a somewhat of a handheld gamer. He really enjoyed his PS Vita. Mm-hmm. So some people listening might be surprised that he would have bought a Steam Deck. To me, it's not a surprise because, like I said, he enjoyed the Vita. And I imagine, Matt, you like hunkering down there in your little corner in cozy season, but when it's not cozy season, you might get some sideways looks, like why are you in the basement? So this Steam Deck gives you portability to game, whether you're out at the farm or you're out in the back patio or whatever. Is that the idea of picking it up?
Yeah. In the summertime, when it's warm out, my wife likes to sit outside and read on her Kindle or read an actual book and that, and just sit outside. So that's one of the things, one of the reasons why I bought that was so I can be outside with her, you know, sitting outside and playing. I can still play games. We can listen to the Reds game or whatever, and more portable
game. So you're playing the game on like low volume, like if she's reading a book, like if she's really invested in a book, and you're friggin' sitting there playing, you know, Dave the Diver on full blast, you know, like she's like, I can't read this book, Matt. Like, how do you approach that? You have headphones on? You just got it low? You're just playing games where you don't necessarily need the volume, like a Diablo or something?
I've got a earbud. I'll put one earbud in.
So you're half listening to her,
I'm half listening to her, which she's
totally used to for 20 plus years.
Nothing new there, you know. I'm half listening to the Reds game, or if we have music on, and then half listening to the game and whatever other stuff is going on outside.
See, my family doesn't really like me, Matt. So if I go upstairs to like watch a Celtics game or do anything with them, whether I have the PlayStation Portal or the Steam Deck, I immediately get sideways looks like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, we're trying to watch this game, and all we're hearing is, you know, the tapping of the buttons, or if they don't hear the buttons, they're like, they get upset that I'm not watching the game, like, you know, minute to minute. Like, you should be watching the game. Like, respect the game, sit up there and watch it and game later. So I don't have the luxury to, like, just being in their presence is like good enough. It's like, no, I got to be in their presence and then invested in what they're doing at the same time.
Yeah, totally different situation for me.
Yeah.
And Barb could care less. If she's up there watching some silly show on Netflix or whatever, I could be sitting on a couch doing, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I could be helicoptering or something like that, and she would not pay any attention. It would just be whatever she's watched on TV, you know?
It's a hell of a thought. Yeah. she's got blinders on, you know. This guy.
If anyone wants to know what the image looks like, just go to my avatar on Steam, and this is pretty much what it is.
Oh, my God. So you're happy with both purchases. You feel like the Steam Deck, you're getting a lot of use at. You'll be getting a lot more use now that baseball's coming up and the nicer weather. But you're happy with the Asus gaming machine minus the Diablo. And like you said, when you have a PC, there's always some sort of tinkering. Like I was just telling Matt last night, I'm trying to play the Division 2 on my PC, and sometimes it loads with like muted colors and sometimes it doesn't. Like what the fuck is that? And for you, sometimes you can play Diablo 4 and it works and sometimes it crashes.
Right.
Or locks up or does anything. So, but overall, you're happy with the purchases?
Yeah, I'm happy. And you know, I've still got a Dell laptop that I do most of my business stuff on and, you know, things like that. So the gaming computer, which is a gaming computer, I just kind of keep that, as you say, lean and clean. Don't put too much crap on it unless I have to.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, my gaming PC here predates my move to this house, and this summer will be 6 years that I've lived here. July of 2018 is when we moved into this house. This, I want to say, was built in the winter of 2018 or the winter of 2017. RoboPig built it. So it's getting up there. I've put some stuff in it, but it's still kind of loud. So I did buy myself a gaming PC, and I don't want to get into too much of that. It's the experience has gone sideways a little bit, and I want to let the situation play out before I circle back to it. I want to give the company a chance to make it right. So I'm not going to go down that too much. But I have bought myself a gaming PC as well, and I'm curious to see how all that unfolds here in the coming weeks.
Yeah, you and I talked about this a little bit, you know, past couple weeks since you've got it and the issues you've had with it. So hopefully they can get this figured out and make it happen.
Yep, yep. Yeah, for sure. You know, not cheap, so hopefully they get it turned on. It's supposed to arrive tomorrow, Monday. So we'll see what happens. You know, we're having these discussions, like how much does the monitor play into how the PC performs? And so I game on a LG 48-inch television. That's my computer monitor as well. It is G-Sync compatible, so you know, you connect the PC to the television and all of a sudden G-Sync comes up and says, you know, you've connected to a G-Sync compatible device. So it's not like I'm plugging into, like, you know, a 1080p television and expecting, you know, miracles to happen. I'm plugging things in that are compatible and can talk to each other, and there should be no issues. The issue I was having with the PC, I was getting some, the screen was turning black every so often, and then I would get some Explorer .exe errors. So I'm not sure what happened. And I didn't put too much on that new PC. All I really did was put Steam, Discord, and I think I updated the Crate Armory for Asus and the NVIDIA, the latest NVIDIA driver. Now, maybe this is something maybe we should get into, Matt. Like, what is your cadence of taking updates? Do you take them, like, overall, like, not even so much for PC, like, your Android, everything? Do you let things, like, sit for an iteration for a while? Or if an update comes that day, are you taking it right away? Because, I didn't have much in that PC. So it's not like I was doing a lot of stuff on there and I was, you know, I borked something. All I was doing was just basic, like, to grab the latest NVIDIA update and did, like, an Armory Crate update and put Steam Deck and installed Starfield.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm one, especially with games, I just let them update as they need to, you know. But like, for, like, the NVIDIA driver and that, you know, it's weird. Sometimes it'll pop up saying there's a driver ready, and sometimes it won't. Sometimes I'll, you know, a month later or something like that, when I open up NVIDIA, say, oh, hey, there's some update drivers, and I might go ahead and download them then and update them. I usually let the PC update itself on its own cadence. I don't mess with that. You know, Windows updates and that, I don't do mess with that. But I'm a little bit more careful with NVIDIA, mainly because it also affects, like, whenever I do a driver update with NVIDIA, it changes my sound settings on my computer. It always wants to have the sound come out of my monitors instead of the headphones or the speakers for some reason. Yeah. You know, it always, so I got to go back and I got to reset that every time. So that's very weird there. But it kind of goes to the point where you're talking about how much these monitors and that play into the computers, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I get a little worrisome sometimes doing updates, but it's like, well, what am I going to do?
What I have to remind myself, I feel like a lot of time these NVIDIA updates are updates for like a game that just came out. Yeah. So like if you were playing Helldivers 2, I feel like NVIDIA would put out an update shortly after that to do something to enhance that game or to fix the problem that they detected with that compatibility of that game. So I often have to tell myself, don't take the update, Mike. You're not playing anything new right now. You're playing game blah, blah, blah from 5 years ago. What the NVIDIA update's going to do right now is not going to impact what you're doing game-wise. So just maybe just wait.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, just wait out. So I don't know if I took the update too quick and it, you know, it wasn't ready for prime time and it hurt. You know, when I talked to the tech people at the company, they were saying they thought it was a driver issue, a GPU driver issue that was causing the problem.
Which could have been from NVIDIA.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, with the game stuff, I was just going to say you're in a no-win situation there. You have to take those updates because otherwise you can't play the game, right?
Yeah, a lot of times they don't even start.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know there's people, too. I've never done it, but you can roll back them NVIDIA drivers also. I've never done it. But I guess you could do that. Also, go to an earlier version or something like that.
I reset Windows twice on that machine, and it still had the issues. So
I think when you do that, though, I don't think it like resets the drivers. Okay. I think it just, yeah, I think the drivers, whatever drivers, latest drivers you download and do, those stay.
Okay.
I think it just resets Windows. I'm not 100% sure. I'm not a computer guy.
So. Yeah, I mean, they said I could go into the BIOS and do like the ASUS like secure erase, which totally wipes Windows completely off your machine. So when you boot it up, it just boots up into the BIOS, and then they would have had to send me like Windows like on a USB drive.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I got a busy week at work last week, and again, we're launching a new product at work, so my time during the day to troubleshoot these things has been less and less. And at night, I just want to relax and game. I don't want to be troubleshooting this shit. So I sent it back to them, and it's coming back on Monday. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. 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 Maybe do a little bit of tinkering with it, but I want to go too balls in with it.
No. See. I am not even going to log into Windows with my usual Windows user ID because I don't want any of that OneDrive. I have a separate Windows ID now that's not going to know who I am. We discussed this offline. My only question is, though, at some point I might want to take advantage of the Xbox, you know, PC Game Pass. Once I log into Xbox, is then all that like OneDrive stuff going to like kick in? So I think the first thing I'm going to do, not the first thing, but before I decide doing the Xbox thing, I am going to go into the start menu and turn off OneDrive and all that stuff. I don't know if that was an issue. I uninstalled OneDrive and I uninstalled Teams when I got to PC. I don't know if that, you know, borked things. I can't imagine, but, you know, Microsoft's got this shit so intertwined in their operating system that, you know, stranger things have happened.
Yeah. What I did with mine is, when I got this, I went into the applications menu, your startup, and I disabled those from even starting when you restart your computer and that. So they don't, they're just disabled. They're not uninstalled. They just won't run.
Right. Yeah, that's the same. That's what I'm going to do. I really, you know, like Steam was trying to release these like Steam boxes years ago. That's all I really want this PC to be. It's like a Steam box. You know, I just want to open it and play PC games and Xbox games. Right. Why? I have Xboxes. I have PS5s. Why am I doing this, Matt? You know, I don't want to go down a dark place here, but I don't feel like I am in the greatest health and I don't feel like I have a lot of time left. and I want to get some, I want to enjoy things before the fucking bell rings. You know what I mean?
I hear you. Yeah.
I've lost weight. I've doing the mental health and the physical health, but my insides still feel like, feel terrible. No matter what no matter what I do, I think I've done some sort of irrevocable harm inside my system. And so, yeah, I just think these next 10 to 15 years are going to be a tough go, and nothing's guaranteed. So I don't want to be a guy that works to the bone and not enjoy things. So fuck it. I bought myself a gaming PC and, you know, just try to enjoy things as best I can.
Yeah. I'm kind of in the same boat. You know, my mom died at 52. My brother died at 53. My uncle died, at 53. You know, I think that's all on my mom's side.
Yeah.
And my sister, she just turned 60. She's going to be 61 this year. So she's on borrowed time. We always say to you, well, hell, you're on borrowed time. You know, because my brother that died, my sister, and me both take after my mom's side of the family. Okay. You know, we're short, we're stumpy, you know, whatever, heart issues, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so, you know, me just turned 50. It's like, okay, so what's up now? You know, I'm going to the doctor March 26th, my regular physical. I'm seeing a new doctor. I'm actually going to a new doctor. Because what I had before, it just seemed like he was just going through the motions.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to a new guy. He's a little bit younger. My sister goes to him. She really, really likes him. He seems to really care and talk to you about stuff. So I'm looking forward to actually seeing him here in a couple of weeks and talking about some stuff that's been going on, some new things that have been popped up with me and that.
I know what he's like. Gotta hate when things just pop up randomly.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? That still works. So we're good there. As long as that still functions, I'm okay. I don't care.
You know, I don't want to cast light on what you know, just make a joke on what you were just saying to her, but I listen to a lot of sports radio and I hear like those erectile dysfunction ads, ED ads.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm like, who are those people? Because fucking the slightest breeze gets me going. The slightest breeze, the wife just walks by in a certain way, just a certain glance. It's fucking go time.
It's like,
it's go time.
Yeah. Get down.
So I feel for all the guys out there that do have that issue though.
Yeah.
That would really be a hell of a thing.
So real quick. So I saw a commercial the other day, and it's bentcarrot.com. So you can
I'm not
see
looking that up. I'm not looking that up because I'm tired of getting all these ads.
Well, apparently there's another issue with men. This is a real thing where it's. You just take the bent carrot name, and that's an issue. And there is medicine out there to help with this issue.
You mean like people like to straighten it out? Is what you're saying?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, I mean,
I guess
some dudes are bent because it's so top heavy that it's you know gravity fucking makes it fucking
gravity
bent.
To help with hitting it.
No, I'm not saying I have that issue.
You know, no one can see the camera, but I think it's because of this. I think because it goes this way instead of, you know, I think it's because it's doing something like this.
Oh,
at least that's what I'm getting from the commercial.
So it's not bending in the way that you would think it would be. It's bending in some other way.
Like a banana. Yeah. There it is right there. Exactly.
I remember this story. I was working one of my first professional jobs. I was working in a call center, and this woman that worked there, she was dating a friend of mine. He was a drummer, and so she would go to all the shows, and then they broke up, and she was telling me about her sex life with new people, and she says, I was just about to fuck this guy, and he pulled out his dick, and it was like a fucking bent like a banana, and I just laughed, and I had to leave. And I was like, how heartless is that? You know, the dude can't help with, you know, he's just been given what he's been given. He whips it out, and it's like bent like a banana, and she just friggin' laughed.
I mean, that could have worked out.
Yeah, I mean, it supposedly hits the spot, right?
I mean, it's, what do they say? It's not the size, it's how you use it.
Yeah, it's not the size of the ocean, it's the motion of the ocean or something like that.
Well, there you go. I like that one, too.
Well, it's not the size of the boat. It's the motion of the ocean.
Yeah, there you go.
something along that line. I don't know what the hell we were talking about. Oh, we were talking about PCs and Steam Decks and all that stuff. Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So,
I'm happy
with
my purchases. I'm good.
I'm sort of, you know, I sent you the pictures. A beautiful machine. It's all white out, you know. It looks amazing, but
that's sharp. Yeah, I like mine. Mine's got all the lights and stuff on. It's got a clear thing on the side.
Yeah.
And I'm actually thinking about redoing, as you call it, the command center down here. This is I need to show off this thing more. I need to put it up over here on the side of my desk and just redo it so you can see these glorious lights and everything. Right now it's hidden underneath my desk.
Yeah, you want to get it off the floor anyways, you know, the dust. Dander, exactly. The cat dander, the
cat, yeah, all that going in there, yeah,
yeah. But yeah, let's get into, you know, a little bit of what we've been playing here, as you know, as we've got about 20 minutes left here on the show. Before that, though, Matt, I just real quick, I want to get into this topic. Do you feel like when we grew up that we missed out on a certain era? So what I'm trying to drive at here is that the guy, the Dragon Ball creator, Akira Toriyama, died at age 68, okay? And for a lot of people, as I'm looking on Twitter, they're really taking this hard. So this one guy from Kind of Funny Games, Blessing, says, "Man, I'm filled with such immense emotion at the moment, thinking about how much Dragon Ball means to me and the world. I can recall such a time I spent as a kid trying to create a Super Saiyan, teleport, etc. He says, a large amount of my imagination was fueled by Dragon Ball Z. A lot of my taste was influenced by it. A generation was changed thanks to Toriyama. Now, I was thinking about, like, you know, you're like, what, going to be 51 this October? Is that right? Or 52?
Yeah, 51.
51. I'm still hanging tough at 48. I'll be 49 this October. But for me, you know, I think of my generation of, like, you know, Star Wars, He-Man, G.I. Joe, there must have been, there's other stuff in there that I'm probably forgetting, but, you know, WWE, like WWF, like wrestling figures, those were like things that I grew up with. But the question I'm trying to ask you is, do you feel like if we were born a little bit later, we would have gotten, like, I can't get into Dragon Ball. I can't get into Pokemon. Like, my kids were into Pokemon, but I can't get into it. The anime stuff, the Dragon Ball, like, it does nothing for me. And I don't know if that's a generational thing or if that's just my taste. Like, even if I was born a few years later, like, I think Dragon Ball, like, kicked off in 89 or the early 90s, somewhere around that period. 89, 90, I was so into, like, you know, music and drumming. And, you know, that was my sole focus at that particular time. So I was certainly not getting into cartoons, which I would have called them at the time. Now it's anime. Do you have any of that sort of resentment? Like, gee, I wish I was born a couple years different, so I would have got into some of this stuff. It has no appeal to me, and I'm not trying to diminish the impact it's had culturally, because certainly a lot of people have been influenced by it. But it just never hit with me.
I think it's just changes in generations. You know, like, I'm sure you'd, along with me, like, growing up, I never got into the Dragon Balls thing. I never got into the Pokemon thing and that. But for me growing up, it was, you know, baseball cards, football cards, you know, sports cards, that type of stuff, comic books, you know, that type of thing. I think it just, as times change, things change. And, you know, people probably, back when we was doing baseball cards, oh, I know my mom was, even though she's a big baseball fan. It's like, well, you're spending all this money on these baseball cards. What, you know, what for? What are you doing?
Yeah, they look nice. I put them in a sleeve and they look nice, and I just like to flip the pages and look at all the, look how crisp everything looks.
Exactly. My mint cards, man. I still got a lot of my baseball cards. But I don't know. I never got into the anime thing neither. There were a couple grown up shows, like, after school, that were, I wouldn't say anime, like, usually I call them cartoons, you know, Star Blazers, which I guess now would be considered anime. And there's another one, that Voltron, you know.
Voltron I watched. I think I have a Halloween costume of me in a Voltron suit.
Well, that'd be nice to see.
I got to get that. Maybe next time I go to my parents' house.
There you go. See if it still fits.
No, no, I don't think they have the cost. They have the picture.
Oh, okay. But yeah, now my kids got into that a little bit. And Pogs, you know, that type of thing. And then there's little, God, what was the little things that Noah used to always wanted to play with? These little miniature guys. I can't remember the name offhand that he liked. But, like,
I want to, you know, speaking of little miniature guys, I still have the urge to go out and buy, like, a large quantity off eBay of the muscle dudes.
Yes, muscle men.
I want to, someday I'm going to do it. I'm just going to blow, like, $50 on a huge lot on eBay. And just got, yeah, because I used to love those fucking things.
I remember my first time buying them, they came in a little garbage can.
Yeah, they're like a little, like, remember the barrel of monkeys too? They used to come in, yeah, like a little, like a monkey barrel.
Yeah,
they came in like a can. Yeah, and you open them up and they'd just be all, and
you'd open up
and you'd put them away, like just like the army men too. You just like, they would just came in a case, it would like a little, like a handle. You just, it was a nice way to clean up when you were done. You just put them,
yeah,
back.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Oh man, those things were great. Yeah. Man, I had all types of those things.
Yeah. I really like those.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was just noticing on Twitter that that's been a big thing the last couple of days because the guy passed. I was like, man, that, I just think it's a generational thing for me that I just,
it is now.
I wonder if I was born 10 years later, if I would be big into like Dragon Ball and anime and Pokemon.
Probably. I mean, yeah, I think maybe me too. You know, if we grew up with it or something like that, or at that age, we've been probably a little more involved, but I don't know.
What we have been involved with, Matt, is managing democracy with some fucking mixed results. Let me tell you this. So,
going good for a while there.
Helldivers 2 is the latest gaming sensation. It was released, I want to, let's just say, about a month ago now, give or take. It's only on PS5 and PC. There is cross play. There is no cross progression right now. So if you're in one ecosystem, you're locked in there until they release cross progression. But you can cross play. Matt's playing it on PC. I'm playing it on PS5. It gets back to that whole conversation we had a little while ago where things only work on certain machines. I bought it for my older PC. And the game just wouldn't start. And being impatient, having FOMO, I got a refund on Steam and then bought it on PS5. So you do these little, you can either do them solo or squads of four. Missions vary from, killing hordes of enemies to running around and destroying bug hives and bug nests, or you can decide to fight these robots, which I believe they call the automatrons, and you do certain types of things there. You blow up their like little factories, raise flags that signal democracy, or break their radio like propaganda things, and so on and so forth. And there's 9 different levels in Helldivers, from trivial all the way to Helldiver. For if you listen to our past show, Bad Fodder Figures, that we tend to play on easy. So we've been playing on easy to medium. And the more difficult you play, the more things you can earn. So you earn these medals that you can buy either cosmetics, you can buy guns, or then you earn repository slips. We're going to do a show at one point and discuss all these gaming currencies. We're not going to do that this show. But there is a trend in a lot of games to have all these currencies. And why does this happen? Does it need to happen? But anyways, in Helldivers, these repository slips which you can spend to unlock stratagems, which are things that you call down to aid you in the fight of democracy. And so, the harder you go up in level, the more that you can earn, the more that you can buy. Thus, you level up your character quicker. Now, Matt and I don't want to speak for you, Matt, but I think we're in it for the long play because of our skill level. We're not jumping into challenging or hard because it's just been too damn hard for us. So we've been sticking with easy and medium.
Yes.
With some fairly good results. I think I'm around level 20, 21 right now. Matt, you're probably in the mid-teens because I had a little bit of head start on you.
Yep.
And so everything was, we were comfortable in that realm of it was just me and Matt playing, and we just wanted to catch up on the week, and the game was kind of secondary. We would play on easy, and whatever happened, happened. And then, you know, you get some tryhards who join the game, like Drips and Corey, and, you know, they look at you, or your buddy at the bar, who looks at us sideways when we're playing on easy. Like, what are you guys doing playing easy? Well, we're just really fucking shooting the shit, and the game is kind of secondary. Don't judge us, please. And they come into the game and immediately want to go to medium and hard and challenging so they can get more medals and level up their guys. And, you know, sometimes we would have success with that. Sometimes we wouldn't. We would just kind of laugh it off, have whatever it is, you know.
Yeah.
But there's been an update this week, Matt.
Yeah.
Where they have done some weather effects. And do you want to pick it up from there and tell us what's been your impression of this update?
Yeah, so the game, as Mike said, can be challenging in itself, okay, and many things you can do with it. But now there's an update this week where they added meteor storms, meteor showers to the environment. And these things can happen at any time, at any place, and they will go on where you'll be running along, and all of a sudden the ground kind of start to light up, you know, kind of like a look electrifying type of thing. And when you see that, you know the meteor storm's about ready to start, and it's going to be in that area. So you have to book it out and move or get out of the way, because those things land, and they hurt. They hurt bad. They kill you.
What does Lightning McQueen say?
what does he? God, I haven't seen it.
Was it serpentine?
Serpentine run. That's right. Yeah, serpentine run. Yeah,
you got to bob and weave.
Yeah, right. Bob and weave throughout, and it's just frustrating, man. Because there's no place to hide. It'd be different if there's a place to hide or run. Okay, but you can't, and it's hard to run because you have to. As these are happening, you have swarms of either Armitrons or bugs coming at you. So it's like everything hits you at once, and you can't get a handle on what's happening.
Yeah. You have some shields that you can use. They seem to work, but they don't last out the whole storm. I have yet to unlock the backpack shield. I see a lot of people using that in higher-end builds. So I am eager to. I'm about a couple thousand slips away from unlocking that. So I'm going to try that.
And that follows you around as you're running. Shield it just stays in one spot. So this one would go around with you.
It's on your back, so I think it's sort of like the guard dog, where it has like a, it goes away and it comes back type thing. But yes, you know, I don't think you have to keep pressing it. It just stays with you. It's got a cool down period. Okay. So I'm going to try that, although I did play a match last night solo on easy, and I didn't have the storm at all. So I'm not sure with the latest patch that they did, when they brought the exosuits in now, if they've buffed or nerfed the storms, because I did play on easy, and I don't know if just – all this is RNG. So I don't know if I just caught one game where they didn't have any storms, but I did notice that when I played on easy, that there was nothing happened that time. But there was a whole host of other issues. Servers were borked last night because everybody's dying to get this exosuit. But you have to be level 25. But I was running – I posted in Discord a whole host of issues I was running into. But, I mean, this is a game that's been in development for 9 years. It's done incredibly well. I think at some point they had like over 800,000 active users between PS5 and – well, I think maybe just on Steam. Maybe PS5 gets factored into that as well. So it's really been a runaway success, and it's a lot of fun. It brings me back to the Mass Effect 3 days where, like, you know, Maniac and myself and some others would just get together. It was just a foregone conclusion for that, you know, stretch of 4 to 8 weeks that, you know, dinner was done, kids were in bed. It was just go time in Mass Effect 3. That's what this feels like. It's just like, yeah, everybody's getting on and playing every night because it's just a lot of fun. It's not competitive. It's, you know, just all of us working together. It's PvE instead of PvP. But yeah, the introduction of the weather effects has dampened my excitement for it a little bit. I need to see how that plays out. Maybe they'll hear the feedback from the community and maybe just have it happen like once per match or twice per match. It felt like it was every 5 minutes, like clockwork.
It was bad. The other night, it was real bad the other night where we was playing. It was you, myself, and Corey were in a match. Yeah. And you two guys got kicked out, unfortunately. So it just left me by myself. Which
no, you two guys got kicked. You two guys got kicked out. I was left alone. I was in the match, and I saw you guy just evaporate like Han Solo against Darth Vader. You were all of a sudden running, and then your body left you, and the clothes were just on the ground. And Corey was already gone, and I was just like, all right, Matt, did I go, there's no way Matt's coming back into this game after he already got killed by the meteors, and then his game crashed. I was like, his PC is probably in the ground in like 30 pieces. So I just quit out at that point.
Well, I was talking about the time when we was playing, where we was playing one night, and you guys crashed, and I went to the extraction point, and a meteor storm came at the extraction point.
Yeah, that's that same night. I think you came back in, and I just left because I said, there's no way Matt's going to come.
Oh, okay.
My game has never crashed on the PS5, at least in the last couple of weeks. You know, like that night that you and Noah had a crash when you were playing with your buddies. On PS5, knock on fake wood, it's been pretty solid.
Yeah,
but it's been fun, but it's been challenging, and it feels like it didn't. The way to sum this conversation, it didn't feel like it needed this extra level of challenging.
No,
like I wish it could be a toggle that you could like turn it off or on. Like, do you want weather effects? Yes or no?
Yeah. And the game, just one more thing, but the game was satisfying to play, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because it's satisfying when you go and you kill the bug holes or where the factories or the automatrons come out of. You get that sense of, you know, success or something like that when it comes up, you know, area cleared and just blowing them holes up and that. It's satisfying.
There is no XP for, like, the amount of guys you kill. There's nothing in that. There's bragging rights at the end. You know, some people like to look at the stats and see how they did or didn't do. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think a big thing when people need to play this game is realize they don't need to kill every enemy they see. As long as you haven't aggroed them, just go fucking buy them.
Yeah, just go on, go to your objectives, clean out all the bug holes, do the main objective, try and find the secondary objective, and get as many samples as you can. And
before we wrap this up and move on to another game we've been playing, I know there's one thing that you want to get off your chest about Helldivers when it comes to extraction. So the floor is yours.
Get on the ship. get on the ship. When the ship comes down and the doors open, it's time to leave. It's time to go home.
I've encountered a couple players that, you know, either A, didn't know that, like, you don't get XP, so don't fucking use every single bullet. Get on the fucking ship. Or there's one player who will remain nameless, who probably doesn't listen to the show anyways, but he likes to get down on his belly and crawl back into the ship in the prone position.
I re-crawl onto the ship because he knows it drives me crazy. Yeah. Well, that's a lesson learned also. Mike and I have learned to holster our guns when the ship comes.
And yes, that is friendly fire. No matter what you are using in this game, friendly fire is on. So even if you put a turret down, an EMS like tower or a Tesla thing, like a bug zapper, it does not differentiate between you and the bug. It sees motion and it zaps you.
The other night when you threw that that Tesla thing down and we're just running towards it, I'm like,
zap, zap.
What happened? What happened? What the fuck just happened?
but we had a good palate cleanser last night, Matt. We have, for the fourth, maybe fifth time, I can't keep track, we have started our Division 2 playthrough again, and what a breath of fresh air. There's no friendly fire, there's no storms.
God.
It's just a solid game that we've been enjoying again. We're both playing on PC, so we're even though it is our, you know, let's just say fourth playthrough, we are seeing it through a different lens because of the visual quality, and because when a game has been, I know yesterday I read that it's been 8 years since the first Division game. So let's say that it's been 6 years since Division 2. It's somewhere in that area, 5 to 6 years. A lot of quality of life improved. We're benefiting from a lot of updates. So we play this thing very buttery smooth, and it's just a great palate cleanser from the chaos of Helldivers 2 to go into the Division 2.
Yeah, a little more strategy, a little more of a slower paced game. You know, it can get hectic at times when you're
running and gunning,
but it's more of a, you know, strategy game, take cover game type of stuff. So which is good. It's a nice change of pace.
Yeah, it's a nice change of pace. It's also it's nice to have. I don't know if you want to call it like nostalgia or smell the roses type moments where like you play the game and you feel like you're experiencing it again for the first time, but still you just remember I remember playing Division 2 a lot with, you know, former co-host of the 40cast, playing with Bibbs and others, Scar, Chase, you know, just playing that game. Division 2 brings back just a lot of gaming community memories. So, I don't know how long, you know, I think I'm just going to keep playing it until like I've consumed all the content. I think once you start going into like the world tiers and then start like building out, like, you know, having all like, what do you call them? Like your armor being all the same brand and all that stuff. I think that's when my eyes tend to glaze over and I peace out.
You start worrying about your gear score than you do.
Yeah.
The other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of them games where, Mike, where we play, we finish it, but then it gets into, like you said, the world tiers and all that stuff to where, like now, when you play now, you clear a checkpoint, the checkpoint stays clear throughout the game.
Yes.
But after you beat the game and you go through and you're doing just different things and that, those checkpoints no longer remain cleared. So you can clear it, but then, like, I don't know, a couple of days later, you got to go back and you got to do it again because it's not clear, or, you know, it came unclear. You know, it got taken over, whatever you want to say. Yeah. And I think just you and I aren't much on end game stuff. You know, at least myself, I am. I don't want to speak too much for you, but
not in these games. Not in these games as a service. You know, obviously, if I'm playing a single player game like Cyberpunk or The Witcher or, you know, Last of Us, you know, God of War, I want to see those things to the end of the story. But yeah, like Destiny, Fortnite, you know, Division, even Helldivers. Yeah, I'm more about blowing off steam for an hour and a half, 2 hours a night and laughing and having a good time than having some bragging rights about my gear score.
Yeah, and just like when I say endgame stuff, I'm talking, you know, like going in and prepping up for raids and stuff like that, you know, and just trying to get that chasing.
I don't like to keep jamming my dick in the door. You know?
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, you have to take medicine for that. Then you get that bent carrot medicine you have to take.
Yeah. But I think we have plenty of content that we can play with the Division for a while. I can't remember. Did you get the one downside of this is Ubisoft? I'm not sure who to blame here, but your Ubisoft purchases don't carry over to the Division 2. So there's no like, hey, I bought this one place so I can play it over there, which is typical. But you know, some of the cosmetics and things don't carry over. What I was getting at though is, Do you remember playing the Warlords of New York on PS4?
I never did get that.
So so you should probably next time. There's a Steam sale coming up here in like, I don't know, 4 or 5 days. You should maybe look and see what that DLC costs. Because once we beat the Division 2, we can go on and play that other content, the Warlords of New York, where you go back to the first game essentially.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good to me. We bought Division. I think it was a couple weeks ago. You saw it on sale. It's like, holy man, it's like $9. I was like, yeah. Hell, that's worth paying $9 for.
I think I bought all of it like for like $17.99.
Yeah, I'll check out the sale coming. I also want to get this. I never did buy the Cyberpunk DLC.
Oh, Phantom Liberty.
Yeah, I need to pick that up also.
Good.
Finish that up.
Well, we're just a little over the hour mark. Matt, we said we're going to keep these shows to an hour, so I feel like this is a good stopping point for us. So just to reiterate for folks, we're going to do a bi-weekly show. So expect this episode to release on Sunday, March 10th, and then we'll be back on Sunday, March 24th. Now, Matt and I have said, you know, if something more important comes up, the topic that we really want to touch upon, we might jump in quicker than bi-weekly, but for now, you can at least expect us to record every 2 weeks. So we're going to wrap it up here. This has been episode 2 of On Second Thought with Mike and Matt. It's great to be back in the saddle recording again. Please spread the word. Let your friends, family, enemies, and cohorts know where to find us on all social media apps. And again, you can follow us on Twitter at OSTWMM. Great to be back, and we'll talk to you all in 2 weeks. Take care.